You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008.
Well, you know that it's going to be all right. I think it's going to be all right. Everything will always be all right when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to be all right.
Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us for the next few minutes of the program. We're going to be talking about Black Friday, and this year it seems a rather violent Black Friday. People dying, being hurt. I heard two guys shot each other. And it's all happening at the big box stores where they open the doors and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. For Christmas shopping, Colleen Carroll Campbell's a regular guest. She's a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, did you do any shopping on Black Friday? Tell the truth.
No, I didn't. I didn't. I didn't even want to go out of my house, but for fear I'd have to encounter the mad shoppers. So, no, I actually make a point of avoiding any commercial transaction, if possible, during the madness of Black Friday.
Okay, this year in particular is an odd one because, number one, people are motivated to go out and try and get the best savings that they can on Black Friday, and the stores are accommodating, okay?
Right.
But then we've got the economic downturn, and people think, well, maybe it's my patriotic duty to go out and buy a big flat screen
right.
at discount prices. And then there's the violence that seems inexplicable and outrageous. Talk about it, if you would.
Yes, certainly in the Walmart store at Valley Stream, New York. This is on Long Island. A man died in a stampede. It was a store employee, actually a temporary worker, a guy who's 6'5", 270 pounds. So this is not some weakling who got trampled in the mix. He was trying to fend off a crowd of about 2,000 people who broke down the Walmart door because it was 5 a.m. and they wanted in. And they wanted their bargains, and he was sort of thrown up front with apparently no crowd control training and told to, you know, slow them down, and instead they stomped right over him. Police said later that basically everyone who got in the store that morning during that rush had to at least step on him, over him, or around him. That's kind of based on where he was positioned and what happened to him. So nobody was stopping for a breath to help this guy. And even when they had medical personnel trying to revive him and check on him and some others who were injured, they were having to fight off people who, you know, wanted them to get out of the way so they could get to their plasma TVs and digital cameras. So it was a pretty ugly scene.
Now, in your column, you say it's very easy to lay blame on the big stores or on the marketers out there. What's really going on here in your mind?
Well, I think those are the easy places to lay the blame. And, you know, just in researching for this column, I was sort of reading what different news reports and, you know, folks were saying about this. And there was a lot of that, well, it's bad old Walmart again and all of that, you know, sure. There's plenty of corporate greed, and I'm sure Walmart certainly didn't do a good job planning for this. But, you know, I think we're back to that idea of this consumeristic, materialistic culture that we live in, and specifically the individuals who allow themselves to become so consumed by the quest for stuff that we really confuse the importance of things as opposed to people. And then when things become your ultimate goal in life, your ultimate and highest good, I think it's very difficult to see why you should slow down for anything in your quest for more stuff. And unfortunately, in this case, that meant even human life. I mean, there's certainly an element of mob mentality here, and that would explain why people who might otherwise not do this on their own would do it in a crowd. But, I mean, there still really is something about this just insatiable desire for more things, this covetousness that we tell ourselves is patriotic and good for the economy. But, you know, I don't think our buy now, pay later attitude is so good for the economy as I think we're learning during this recession.
Then finally, with only about a minute here, Colleen, on that patriotic note, I remember, and I think it's a little embarrassing to remember, many of our leaders after 9/11 said, you know what you can do to help your fellow Americans? Go shopping, yeah. Bolster the economy. And then we heard a little bit of that also as well after the recent economic downturn. Of course, we're still in the midst of it.
Go shopping.
Is it patriotic to indulge our desire for more and more and more?
No, I don't think it is. And I think it's sad because that came, of course, after 9/11 at a time when we were ready to make sacrifices. And instead, we were sort of told to splurge. And even now, I think people have this innate sense that they're kind of ready to rein in a little bit. But instead, our leaders are telling us to splurge. You know, don't worry. Keep moving. Keep buying too much. Keep putting too much on your credit card. Keep you know, doing things you really can't afford to do. And, you know, I hope that we'll have enough sense not to listen to that, but it is disappointing that our leaders seem to confuse consumerism with sort of our national creed. It most certainly should not be our national creed, and I hope maybe one silver lining in all of this economic bad news is that we'll rediscover the fact that we are made of more than just our stuff.
So we are, in fact, our better selves as Americans, at least in a civil sense, perhaps when we're stooping to help someone up off the floor rather than simply credit card in hand, headed for the register, and
absolutely,
whoever gets in my way better not get in my way.
Yes, and certainly if you think of the Great Depression to which our situation has been compared, although obviously we're not in that position now, yet not yet, you know, you think of bread lines and soup lines and all of these terribly sad scenes. What you don't remember hearing about are stampedes where people were killed, and just to think about preserving your dignity even in tough times and how undignified and how sad and, of course, unpatriotic as well it is to see Americans not fighting for air, fighting to live, and therefore stomping on someone, which of course is unchristian, but perhaps a little more understandable, but fighting for $9 DVDs and $800 plasma TVs. It's just sad, and it's something I think we all need to reflect on, because we might not be the ones who'd stomp on someone for a DVD, but we might be the ones who allow our Christmas season to become utterly consumed in the quest for things, or skip right through the preparation for Christ's birth because we're so fixated on the stuff we're going to get on Christmas Day. So I think there's lessons in this for all of us.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Read her columns online. Click on demand at our website, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, marketing the Bible. Is it a good idea to try and find new and interesting ways to do it? 1-877-623-6943.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Life in outer space, but what have they found?
Answers with Ken Ham, author of the best-selling book, The Line Evolution.
Well, scientists have spent millions and millions of dollars looking for life in outer space, but really, what have they found? Well, the quick answer is absolutely nothing. The late astronomer Carl Sagan often commented about the search for extraterrestrial life, and he once wrote an article for Scientific American full of beautiful photos and diagrams, and at the end of the article, he summed up the search by saying, "That monumental discovery remains to be made." You see, they haven't found anything yet. Back in 1977, the United States spent millions of dollars on sending the Voyager spacecraft to take messages out to the extraterrestrials. That's right. Do you know that even Jimmy Carter, president of the United States at the time, wrote a message telling the extraterrestrials that we wanted to join a community of galactic civilizations? Also, the story of evolution was placed on board the Voyager craft, designed to tell the extraterrestrials how we evolved. Well, is there intelligence outside our world? Well, there is, but it's the creator God of the Bible, not little green men.
God's creative handiwork is certainly on magnificent display in our universe. To discover more, you need to watch our DVD, The Created Cosmos. It's what's shown in our new planetarium near Cincinnati. Get the DVD by offering a donation of any size when you call toll-free 888-89-ANSWERS, 888-89-ANSWERS, or on the web, answersoffer.org.
thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming the most recent members of the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Christ Our Savior, Freeburg, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget on our website, issuesetc.org.